Welcome, travelers. Hey, come in. Take a seat and pour yourself a drink as you listen to Not Just NPCs Podcast. Here's your hosts, your guides, if you will, Krios and Sprocket.
Welcome to Not Just NPCs Podcast. I am your host, Krios, joined always by my co-host, Sprocket.
Hello.
So today, we don't even know what we're going to talk about. We've been trying to discuss it here for like 10 minutes. And I think we'll start off with your idea of party size.
Yeah, I was thinking about when we first got started, your original homebrew. You know, The very first time we got together, we did virtual. So we did all virtual. We all did it over Discord with a few online things for rolling dice and maps and stuff like that. And what was our party size then?
Four.
It was four of us?
Was there five?
I think originally it was five. Yeah, because we lost two after the first session, and then We eventually brought two more in slowly, I think. Because it was me, Druid, Paladin, Sorcerer, and then Ranger.
And the Sorcerer and Ranger dropped. No, so we had that one guy that was tried to like OP everything.
Oh yeah. He was the Ranger, wasn't he?
I don't remember what his character even was, to be honest. That was like two years ago.
I know. He left. He left combat. So I think that's why we're both trying to remember what class he was, because...
No, he loves combat. He was always trying to get into combat.
Well, was he?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the guy who's always arguing with you every single time to try to get the most out of whatever the conversation was.
That's the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're talking about a guy instead of a party size.
I know we are. I know we're getting off.
He just didn't fit our group. You know, Amy,
he didn't.
He was a great player. Don't get me wrong. He just didn't fit the rest of our party and how we wanted to play the game, which is why he didn't join us the second campaign around. He decided to drop out, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, when you're coming up with a party, you want to make sure you have the right players, that there's good cohesion there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and as a player, it makes sense for him, too, because if you're not going to have fun, if they're not going to play the way you want to play, then you're not going to have any fun. So it makes sense to drop out early. But it's okay. Correct. All right. So
he was there for the homebrew, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
For the homebrew. It was him. Yeah. It was the guy in our current party.
Uh-huh.
It was you.
Yep.
It was the one girl that once we went to in person, she dropped out because she couldn't make the drive, unfortunately.
Yeah, she was our sorcerer. She was really good.
And then there was the couple.
Yeah, who didn't last very long.
No, so there were six total. I think we had four the entire time.
Yeah.
And two dropped, and we included two more.
Yeah, it cycled through. Which
something
is why
like that. It was between like somewhere between four and six. Four at the minimum, six at the maximum at the time.
So obviously, too, and this is a whole other discussion that I'm not trying to get into, making the statement.
Yes, you are.
Virtual, stop that. Virtual is obviously, even though I think it's awesome and it allows you to do a lot of things that, you know, play D&D with other people, other parts of the world, blah, blah, blah. That's very good. And I support it, but it's a different animal than being in person, right?
It's totally different. Yes.
Totally different, right? So it's still D&D, but it's a different experience. So how, as a DM, you as a DM, and I'll tell you my feelings as a player, how did you feel doing virtual? And again, this was, I think, a bigger challenge for you because this is also one of your biggest homebrews to do it.
That was my first homebrew.
It was, there you go. So it was your first, but how did
I think
it was
my first actual campaign homebrew.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a party of four, rather. So how did it feel doing it virtual with four people? Because I know some of us also, especially Discord, it's easy to talk over one another in Discord.
Yep.
Versus in person, because you can obviously see the person, you know, emoting and feeling, so you don't speak up. But over Discord, there's just silence, and all of a sudden, four people are talking at once. So how did you feel with a four-man party with your homebrew over virtual? And I have a follow-up question to this.
So this is going to come from personal experience as well as hearing other DMs' experiences.
Sure.
What I found is virtual, a good number of party members is about four. that's about the max you want to go, really. I mean, you can go more, of course. However, it just becomes too much to manage as far as people talking over each other and keeping everybody's characters' stories going as far as how they link to the campaign, yada, yada, yada. In person is much different because you're at the table together. You can see when someone's about to talk. There's just that different sense. And that's where you can easily run four to, I mean, look at Critical Role. They do 8 people. He is the DM of all DMs, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
But he knows what he's doing. He's had that experience. He can incorporate players' backstories into the campaign. And I think for me personally, my max would probably be 6. I don't know if I would want to go much bigger than that as far as consistently at the table. Now, every now and then add a 7th or 8th player just for like that session or two.
Oh, that's fine. Because
you don't need to worry about their character backstory. How am I going to incorporate this into the homebrew that I've built? What's the NPC that's going to be part of their character's backstory that's in my story now?
Mm-hmm,
what's MacGuffin do they need to get? Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which makes sense. Because like you were saying, too, the Critical Role is, I think they're a very unique gem, too. Because they obviously... And not only is it their full-time job to do this, they're always in person. They meet once a week. They're committed to, you know, 4 or 5 hours, however long the sessions run nowadays. They're all freaking best friends, nearly family. Yep. So they don't mind doing that every single week and being stuck in a room on top of all the one-shots they film. So I agree with you. I hear you. It feels like it's huge. I was going to make a point to that is that before COVID, unfortunately, closed the store. The game store I used to go into to do our Pathfinder campaign, among other board games we played. They had, of course, a room in the back, bunch of tables, right? And where you had, like us, a bunch of friends who got together to play tabletop RPGs. And then you actually had like this one guy, which I know you've kind of talked about this on a professional level. There's this one guy who actually stayed in the shop and he basically put up a sheet. If you want to run a session with me, these are the times that I'm free. It's almost like you like hire him out without actually having to pay him money. He just loved doing it.
Yep.
And he always ran a session while we were doing our session. So I'm getting to a point, I swear. So across the room, we had this little round table, and across the room, there was this big like cafeteria table, and he sat at the end of it, as the GM does. And I promise you, he had almost 10 people at this table.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a massive party, and they're always talking.
Was this just a one shot, or was this a whole campaign?
The one that I'm specifically talking about, I'm going to say it was a campaign because it was always the same people coming back.
Okay.
The same Sunday we always ran it. Now, I know he did ultimately other things with smaller groups and stuff, but I just got to see this because he always ran that particular session when we were running our Pathfinder session.
Okay.
So I just saw it a lot. And don't get me wrong, some people did drop out, the group got smaller, that kind of stuff. And I always wondered because it's like the first day, the second day we saw him do this, we're like, hey, what's going on over here? Like, are you guys running like D&D? And that's when he explained, oh yeah, I run it for groups and this kind of stuff. Man, you have a massive group. Because we were a group of 5. There's 5 of us. And we're like, you have a massive group. And he's like, oh yeah, these are people that join me. And like everything I explained to you just a second ago. Does that get overwhelming or whatever? And he's like, oh, I'm here every day, man. It's like, I love doing this. That's like out of the norm. To me, that's crazy. And throwing back to another friend of mine, who does D&D occasionally. He's also, of course, their group actually hasn't come back together since the second session, but their group of friends all to get together, and it's about 8 of them. And from his experience, I'll tell you that he's bored to death when he goes because it's hard to get a word in. And like you said, there's so many characters talking and explaining their stories or trying to like put their personalities of their characters out there that he barely gets to participate unless he's like very loud, overbearing, which he's not as a person or as a player. So for him, he just sits there and almost in a way kind of waits for his turn to speak, which doesn't happen very often with how many people there are. So he sits there on his phone or whatever in person. And then if they get online and do it online, he sits there and he plays WoW while he's waiting for his turn to do whatever. He's not even participating in the story or
Big groups, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
You lose focus and you lose interest.
Yeah,
especially combat when I have another hour till my turn. I'm going to go walk away.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you didn't have a lot to do that turn because maybe you're setting up for something.
Yep.
And then you're like, all right, well, I did this.
And then you come back the next round. Right. It's like, oh, well, everyone died already. Well, I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Four of the party died and now I can't do whatever I was setting up. Well, you know, here we go.
That's way too many, I think.
It was crazy. It was crazy to me.
I mean, there is different style campaigns too. You have your typical like story campaign that you can run, as well as an episodic campaign where it's basically, hey, we're just going to play. It's basically like a one shot every time, but it's like the same setting. One idea that I have for an episodic one that eventually maybe in the future I might run just to play, just because I like playing for fun and being like, hey, I can do this. It's going to be online. It's going to be four people. First four to sign up this week, we'll run it. Here's the schedule for like the next 2 months or whatever. Anyways, it was going to be basically this big room with a bunch of different either like doors or portals, however you want it to be. And each one leads to a different place. So like one might lead to Eberron. One might lead to Barovia. One might lead to this place or that place. And basically just say like, okay, here is your party, whoever is there that night. You guys have known each other because you're in this faction or this group that you've do these things all the time. So you don't need a character backstory, really. I mean, a little bit of one, obviously, but there's no incorporating it into the story. And you just go on an adventure. It's just basically just a one shot. And it's an episodic campaign where you just get to keep playing the same character. And eventually maybe you'll level up like, oh, hey, make this, I guess, one shot or this episode is going to be a level 4 episode. So make your characters level 4 this time around. Oh, this one, we're going to do level 20. And it's just one level 20, basically one shot, but it's the same characters doing things, evolving, things like that. But yeah, that was one idea.
That's a really cool idea.
For an episodic one. And I think in that scenario, you could do a little bit bigger of a party because people can come and go. It just might be different each time, which is fine. That's what that style is meant for. Online, I can't do more than 4 online. That's just because of the talking over people. Now, one thing that we recently just got back into Curse of Strahd, and we had one player who couldn't make it, and we video called them in. And I was planning on doing this even before we even had to video call her in, was you guys were having dinner with Strahd, and rather than having people just talk over each other and whatnot, it worked out well for this because I did like a 10 course meal. Each course was like a different event.
Yeah.
And I told you guys, all right, you guys come up with the order you want to talk. We're going to basically run this like initiative, even though it's not combat. Who wants to go first? You guys can decide between you. You guys did, and that person that went first got to talk, ask any questions that they wanted to. When they were done, we just moved on to the next person.
Yeah.
And I think that would work well for something through a Discord or a, you know, online virtual tabletop game.
Yeah, yeah.
To avoid people talking over each other. I don't know how some of the bigger podcasts or campaign people, whatever you want to call the professionals, I guess, even though, I mean, they're professionals, but not professional. They're no magic.
Yeah.
I've seen some like online campaigns where they never talk over each other, but it doesn't seem like they have any order of talking either. So that could just be that they've been together so long, they know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think it's like experience, because I'm sure like, and this probably shows our experience with doing it online more, because we obviously, neither one of us has. That was my first. Well, that was my second, but my first one was only a one shot, so I don't really
know. First campaign.
But yeah, that was our first campaign doing it that way. If you're someone who lives far away or can't get out of the house very often for whatever reason, and you do most of your D&D or any role play, not just D&D, right, through Discord, there probably is some sort of natural ebb and flow that you get used to. That you do. For us, at least, even with pulling people that we did know that I assumed specifically hunted for groups through Discord, felt like we were always, and not in a rude way or even in a mean way, just there always seemed to be someone would start talking at the same time someone else would, and then you'd have to stop and it'd be that awkward okay, no, you go ahead, you know, kind of thing. Which again, I'm sure, because we weren't even together that long, if that was like our second or third campaign, we probably got more used to it. But
yeah,
I think the cameras helped too onto that point.
Yes.
And having the webcams was,
I think,
huge.
There was one person that didn't have one at the time. And so you never knew when they wanted to speak.
Right.
Cameras definitely helped because you could see each other's faces.
Yes,
agreed. I would say that. I mean, that's a must if you're going to do it online.
I agree. I think that was huge because I know at first when you were like, yeah, we need to have cameras. All right, man, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to set this? Because I had a whole different setup than I do now.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It just...
No, and I didn't at first. Yeah, I didn't. And like you said, like once you had yours, I had mine going. And the few other people that are going, immediately I'm like, this is so much better than I had it in my head. You know how it was going to go? Mm-hmm. Oh, immediately I can see how people react to certain things or if they're interested. I mean, not that we don't see people now pull up their phones through certain conversations and be flipping through their phones. But I mean, you definitely could see that on the webcam and you're just kind of like, oh, all right. Well,
you could tell like, okay, he's bored or she's bored. Yeah, I gotta find a way to include them as a DM at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I mean, even as a player, is this character near me? Can I talk to them and pull them in? Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, I want them to, you know, as a player, I want my party have as much fun as I'm having. You know, I want them to be invested, you know,
but at the same
it's my
time,
story too.
Yeah. And at the same time, if you're in a group and you are pulling up your phone or doing those things, do you really even want to be there?
Right. Right.
I feel like if you were really invested, you'd be interested in what the other two people are discussing.
100%.
Because that's role playing. That's what this whole thing is about.
Right. Well, so when you were talking about how we were doing the dinner with Stride and we went in order, which I could feel my internet senses of people being like, that would be so boring and that would take so long.
Yeah.
But with our small group, it was fine. Yeah. With our small group, it was totally fine. And it worked out even better since we had someone worked out better for the person on the voice call. Because that way it gave them a chance because they're kind of on a little bit of a delay. So it gave them a chance to actually participate without us railroading them in the conversation. What I was going to say was, sorry, I got a little off track there. What I was going to say was the way that we did it that way, I looked at it in my mind's eye like it was a movie.
Yeah.
In giant dinner scenes in a movie, the camera can only track one conversation at a time between actors or actresses. So, you know, the camera would pan down the table and it would stop and you'd see how these two people next to each other would interact or talk across the room. And then the camera would keep going to the next set of people or whatever the scene is. So that's how I pictured it in my head. And it worked out, I mean, obviously perfectly. I mean, especially when Strahd got involved and obviously he wanted to talk directly to each character because he was trying to make a point, whatever he was saying. Just, it was very natural. I feel like it was very natural. It didn't feel forced, I guess.
No, I didn't think so either. I didn't even think we noticed we were even doing it anymore at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. We just already knew who was going to say next once, you know, all right, I'm done. And you just knew who the next person was going to go. All right. So, rewind.
Have you said your second follow-up question yet?
No, I haven't. That's exactly what I'm getting to. All right. Good throwback. So rewind. So my second question is, obviously you kind of answered a part of it in the first thing, which I kind of figured you would. So you like parties of four is your peak party getting together.
As far as online goes, yes.
Yeah. So in person, assuming you had infinite room and you could set up, do your environment.
That's the other thing.
Full immersion. I know that's a big part of it. I know. So let's like in a perfect world. So we're just removing that.
Yep.
You have the perfect space to do the perfect setup. What would you like in person? I'm thinking more of how you were in the games. All of us friends and maybe you pull in either other friends, like from your other session that you're running. What's comfortable, not just random people we pull in to play with us. What would be a comfortable
in-person party? Yeah, for sure. For people that are invested and they actually want to play and want to have their character involved. They care about the story. They care about their character. They're not just there to play. They actually are invested. I think for me personally, I think my max would be 6.
Okay.
For the sole reason of wanting to make sure I include everybody's backstory into the campaign. When you get to the 8 to 10, it's so hard to do that for everybody and make everybody feel involved in every single session.
Sure.
With 4 people, that's pretty easy to do. 6 people, it's not that hard to do, to make everybody feel like they have a reason that this session is happening for their character.
Mm-hmm.
But a big part of that also is having players that care about their character, which perfect world, they do.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that is making sure that their players have clear goals that they want to do. And once you know that as a DM, you can say, okay, this player is passionate about this for their character. I can incorporate that into the story. I can incorporate that into every session somehow, some way. I just have to figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm, and that's where I think six is the max, because you only have 4 hours usually. Some people, you know, might only meet for 2 hours. I think time's a factor as well. But we usually do 4 hours. You know, the funny thing is, I think I picked, let's do a 4 hour meeting set, 4 hour sessions, because that's what Critical Role does.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Who's to say we can't do 5 or 6 or two?
Yeah, everyone's out. Because, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, there's definitely some sessions. I mean, obviously, not all sessions are created equally, right?
Yeah.
And that's as much as on us as it is on anybody else, right, in the game. So I say us as in the players. So there are some sessions. Oh, man, we've hit 4 hours. We're like, are you serious?
Oh, what? Yeah.
No, man, we got to go like another hour. Like, we ain't done. Nope, we got to cut it off. You know, people have got schedule restraints, which is fine, right? Being an adult. But it's like, why not? Who's not to say you can't kind of do like the old school sleepover setup? Like, just have everyone come over. Hey, man, bring your snacks, bring your drinks.
We did
your Adderall. We're staying up all night. We D&D-ing, you know?
We did that. Not as in we, as in me and you. However, me and my other group that I meet with, we took a whole weekend. I remember I told you about this. It was last year in like the fall or whatever.
Yeah.
We took from a Friday night, 6 o'clock, to a Sunday morning at like 11 is when we had to be out. We rented this cottage on a lake. You know, somebody knew somebody that, you know, it was super cheap for us to get on or whatever.
Yeah.
We brought food and we made food the whole week and just spent time playing. All we did was play D&D. We did a one shot on Friday night. We did a one shot on Saturday morning, a one shot Saturday night, and a one shot. No, and that was it, because then Sunday we had to pack up and get out of there.
Yeah, which makes sense.
So we did three one shots, and we had somebody different each time DMing.
Yeah.
So I got to play in two, and then I did one of them. It helped me do a homebrew. This will take about 4 hours to get through. No, we did that in like 5 or 6 hours. We replayed that, and none of us cared because we didn't have anything else to do. In my mind, I'm like, man, I got to wrap this up. We're almost at 5 hour mark. Yeah. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, we have to finish. Hey, guys. Are you okay with keeping going? And we're like, yeah, let's keep going. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we did. And it was fine. And it was fun. It was a blast. And we talked about doing it again this year at some point, absolutely. Like doing it again, making it a yearly thing.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Especially because I got to play and not just DM. Granted, I prefer DMing because that's just how my brain is wired.
Yeah.
You know, it's the control aspect.
Yeah,
I like to be in control of what's going on, but also letting you guys dictate the story.
Yeah,
but I also have a very creative mind when it comes to these things.
Yeah,
and so that's where, like, I like to world build. I like to create things. Yep. And as a player, you basically create your character backstory. You're done, and then you just play, and you're not constantly creating as you are playing.
Right. Yeah, I will say for me as a player, once I get into the world. It's about, I think of it, and I think I've said this before, it's almost like acting. So when I get in there, I'm almost like an actor and a writer at the same time in my own head, because I want to act my character. So I don't want to act like Sprocket. I want to act like whatever my character I've created is. So I want to make sure I get that attitude across, or not attitude or whatever, like you said, like goals and that kind of thing. But also I want to grow that character with whatever situation we're in, which actually, as a player, having too many people in the party versus having a small party, if your party is too small, sometimes I feel like this is just me needing to grow too as a player. I feel like it gets hard to try to bounce off my fellow players character wise and like try to pull out, you know, from them. Hey, what's your character like? What's your attitude? How do you feel about this? And then that gives me something then to bounce my character off of to reflect back for character growth. Because that's the whole bottom line I'm trying to get here, is I really care about, how is my character from the beginning of the campaign, not just story-wise, right? Because that clearly has a massive impact on them. I almost expect that to happen. That's just natural. But how do I advance my character personally from session 1 to end of campaign?
Yeah, how did my character grow? Not stat-wise, but...
Right.
personality-wise.
Yeah, I'm not talking about on paper at all. I'm talking about purely by how did their personality grow? Were they meaner? Were they scar? How did my relationships grow? Is this character closer? And I don't mean like romance-wise. I mean like, was this character more like a best friend of this character by the end? Was I kind of like, by the end of the day, I don't really care if XYZ in my party died. Would that be his, my character's response to another character? To me, I try to think about that as well as, what's happening. Obviously, I don't want to just think about that because then I'll lose track of the story, which is obviously no good. So if you have too small of a party, I think it makes things hard. Again, for me, it makes things hard for each player to bounce off each other. But obviously the flip side of that is if the party's absolutely flipping massive, there's no time to do that unless, you're eating all the time between characters and then there's no story happening, which is equally really bad. Again, in a perfect weird universe gem that is Critical Role, they get to do both, but that's because they know each other, they already know how the story flows, they already know how Matt Mercer goes, and they get to play once a week, every single week for the rest of their life. So for them, they've got the time. But if you're like, hey man, I can only play once a month for 4 hours. If I'm only playing with two other people, sometimes it feels like, two people I don't know, especially. When it comes to like our party, I know them. We've been playing for almost 2 years together. But if like it's two people I don't know, all right, well, how am I going to introduce who I am? And how do I make that seem important to the story to make it fun for our party? Because if we're just like, hey, I'm a barbarian, I like to get mad and hit stuff with a stick, that's so generic and cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, you picked the most generic thing you can. Cool, Conan. Thanks for showing up.
Which, as a new player, is what you're probably going to end up doing.
100%. And that's okay because you're trying to get your feet wet and you're getting started. If I'm a couple of years into this game and I'm like 4 or 5 campaigns in with these people, not even that much, I'm over-exaggerating. Even like 2 campaigns in with the same people, I almost expect them to expect more from me when I bring a character to the table. What character is Sprocket going to bring? And what goofy or serious or philosophy? What kind of character is he going to be in the party? Is he a friend? Is he more abrasive? Is he more whatever? You know what I'm trying to say. For me, party also matters. It's like, yeah, I don't want things to take up too much time and slow down the story. I never want that. But I also don't want things to be so small that I don't feel like I'm actually getting to participate in a way that's meaningful as a role player, I suppose. Like you're talking about creating. If I want to create who I am, in what situation we're in, and I feel like my party, because I'm not playing a solo game. I never look at it that way. I'm always a co-op player. Yes, I don't play rogues ever. So there you go. So I always look at myself as a co-op player no matter what I play. Therefore, I truly care about what they're doing and how they're reacting. I think that party size and whether it's virtual versus, reality or in reality, good Lord, in person is actually really interesting.
Yeah.
And it really impact how it's done.
Yeah. I got 4 things to ask you.
Okay. Yes. I did rant. I'm sorry.
I was taking notes because otherwise I would forget. One of them I had forgotten and I,
oh, no.
And then I remembered it like 20 minutes later.
Okay. Okay.
Not 20 minutes, but as far as the size of your group goes, it also comes down to what kind of style do you want? Do you want a style where you want to get to know each other's characters and get to know the party in personal ways, or do you not care about that and you're more there just to play, go into combat, kill things? So I think the style matters. I think size matters when it comes to style. Because if you want a style where everyone is getting to know each other's characters on a personal level, having a bigger group is going to be a lot harder. Critical Role does it really well. Most probably everybody listening to this is not a professional.
I have a lot to learn and do.
Yeah. So I think style definitely matters as far as group size goes as well. Another thing, you talked about evolving your character's personality and stuff and how not just stats on paper, but evolving as a person in the game. One thing that I saw Matthew Mercer do on Critical Role was, I want to say it was Sam's character. He told him, he's like, okay, I need you to change your alignment to this now because of the choices and decisions he was making throughout the game. And that makes total sense because he was no longer playing this character, let's say, of a neutral alignment. He was becoming more lawful or more chaotic now. And so changing it on paper helps him see, okay, this is how my character's been acting like, is this really the way that my character would go? And then the next thing you know, it's this character has now become the evil, and you know, Matthew Mercer is taking control over it, and it's now the big bad villain or something like that for the next
right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Being able to change your alignment is a great way to see the personality growth of your character.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and another thing that stuck out, because I just recently watched a YouTube video on it yesterday, the NPCs you guys come across, growing them personally, even as a DM, not just having this stagnant character that this is how they are. If they've joined your guys' party, or if you come across them a lot, based on the decisions you guys make and how close they are with you, how does that impact that character personally? Do they decide that, oh, hey, I'm really for your group now, my moral beliefs have changed, and so they're more likely to side with you, or that's against their moral beliefs, so this NPC has now become an enemy rather than a friend all of a sudden. And that's a whole another video probably there in itself.
Oh yeah, 100%.
But
yeah,
just kind of touching on it. So my question.
Yeah.
Out of the four things that I got, I only had one question for you apparently.
Okay. All right.
As a player character, what size of a party do you prefer? And I know this is probably a personal question, and it's going to vary differently for anybody listening, but you personally, what would you prefer?
That's a good question. I've always been on, I'd say, like the smaller end of parties. I think maybe five is the max I've ever been in. I have, just give you a little understanding of what I'm thinking out loud here. I have done, obviously, campaigns with friends. I've one-shotted, like a friend brings me in because they're like, hey, man, I know you really love, literally this happened. I know you really love Star Wars. And one of our players is sick, so we want to bring you in because it's a big thing happening tonight. Yep. We need a body. So I did. I showed up.
Which is great to know people that are willing to do that.
Yeah, and to their horror, I was a Gungan, and I Misa spoke like a Gungan the whole time. So, you know, they were like, oh, I don't know about this. No, I'm just kidding. No, I really did play a Gungan, but I tried not to annoy them. I wasn't like a Jar Jar Gungan. I was just a Gungan in general, which the DM was like, oh, God. You know, and I'm like, no, give me a chance.
So you took over as like an NPC character, not as one of the player characters' characters.
I've done both. I've stepped in as something that the DM basically already had pre-built, gave me directions. This is where I want you to do. I want you to steer them if you can this way, but if not, it's no big deal. And then I've also come in actually a Game of Thrones campaign that a couple of friends of mine did. Four of us and three of them. No, four. No, no, it was four of us. Sorry, two of them. I'm thinking players now. So not counting the DM. There's four of us and two of them were in London.
Oh, wow.
And we were doing this all over Discord back in the day. And we were doing a Game of Thrones RP session. And I was hired as a mercenary. So I came in to do a hit and run in a castle.
Yeah.
As this mercenary. And that was a blast. And that was actually more RP than it was combat, believe it or not. Because we ended up getting caught. So actually, there was a lot of dialogue and role playing to that one. So that was like four. We already said our brew is like four or five. My old Pathfinder was five of us. Again, not counting the DM in any of this. This is all players. And then, of course, now we're four, looking at three. I would say, so far, I really enjoyed our four quite a lot. I do... Oh, man. I'm thinking of my Pathfinder campaign, because we had five.
I feel like five is a good number, as I'm thinking five about it, too.
Such a solid number, yeah. Because I was thinking, like, each of the character and each of the players, and even one guy wasn't very talkative. And I felt like we all had this before COVID ended up, unfortunately, stopping the campaign. We were actually base building. So we actually were far enough in the campaign that we actually decided we were going to become like a full-blown hero mercenary group.
Yep.
We actually had a place that we cleared out, and we actually had NPCs that we hired. There were like NPCs like in the base. And each one of us actually ran the NPC, which was fun.
Which now they have in the new D&D, in the 2024 edition, they have Bastion system, which is basically that. So that you can have a whole base and evolve it. Whole nother topic there.
Yeah, so our DM, he was homebrewing that with Pathfinder right before, like a year before COVID. But we were the NPC, so if you needed, man, I really want the sculpture to do something really cool in this courtyard, you would know who to go to. Hey, I need to talk to Jeffrey. And then you would know to switch and be like, what can I do for you? And you'd switch over to Jeffrey instead of whatever your character was. And then you would write down what they needed and the stuff. And then the DM would then guide you to, all right, this is what they would require, blah, blah, blah. But it was the DM guiding you, and then you would talk to your other fellow player as the NPC.
Okay.
There was a lot of really cool twists to it. And like I said, with the five of us, that particular system worked out really, really well. Yeah, I'm going to have to lean on, I really did like five. And I feel like, not just from a role play point of view, which is usually where I'm coming from mostly, right? Yeah. Like I like role playing the most. I think combat helped too, because even if someone brought like a really weird off the wall subclass that they wanted to play because it just fit their personality,
yeah,
it didn't feel like a detriment to the party in combat. Correct. Like you didn't feel like, man, okay, well this person's literally going to do nothing in combat. And sometimes, especially in Pathfinder, sometimes that's not great. Like that is not where you want to be in life, you know, but if you have like someone else that can kind of pick up the pieces for that, I guess it helped out a ton, which I feel like everybody was pretty decked out with their class. We had a few tryhards that min-max pretty hard, especially our barbarian, of course, but he played a good barbarian. He played a good barbarian. So I think five, man. I think, yeah, I would land on five. I really would.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good number too. Cause then if one person misses, it's not detrimental to the battle that might be going on that night. You could still, because right now we have four.
Yeah.
And if one of us misses, okay. I mean, we can still do it. It might be a little bit difficult, or I might have to tweak it somewhat. And then if you were, your fiance misses, there's two right there. We just have
right.
to, we're canceling if one of you misses, more than likely the other one is missing. So we're just canceling for the night. That's one downside of couples in the same group, is if one misses, chances are the other one is going to as well. And so all of a sudden you're down two right away.
Yeah.
Granted, last session, your fiance wasn't there, but you still were. And that was fine.
Yeah, it did work out. It was funny. The only chink to our armor when that happened, because she's our cleric.
Yeah.
The one character got paralyzed.
Yes.
And it's just like the artificer and the blood hunter staring at the paralyzed person going, hell shit. Like, I have nothing to do. And our one cleric who literally has the perfect spell for this, who even in story-wise, which perfect, by the way, I speak to you, DM, you know, she wasn't there story-wise. So we can't even be like, she's like some weird dummy shell of a character following us around just to give us heals. No, she wasn't there story-wise. So we had to like,
yeah, she was adapt sleeping in her bed for the evening because you guys are in the castle Ravenloft now.
Yeah, so it was perfect. So we had to think, okay, well, we don't have our one support here with us, or that type of support here with us. Yep. So even in the party, we understood, hey, we don't have that help. Because that's not meta. I mean, in the world of D&D, you understand what a cleric is.
Yeah.
You understand what they bring. Your characters can react to that and be like, well, okay, well, let's not screw up too bad with whatever we're going to do, because we don't have anybody to bail us out of this health-wise. It made it interesting. It did. It added a twist to it. And it was fun.
And as a DM, knowing that you had that cleric missing, the character that was paralyzed, she was supposed to be paralyzed for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And
which is crazy.
Which is going to be the rest of the night going through this castle, because each room is going to be like 10 minutes long. As a DM, I'm like, okay, I have to figure out a way right now so that way she can become unparalyzed without it being story breaking, without her missing the entire night, not having fun, because she can't even talk when you're paralyzed.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, I had Rahadin show up and say, oh, you guys went to this place, this happened, I see, blah, 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 conversation. Well, lucky for you, I have a potion that can help, because it's not the first time this has happened in the castle, because former adventurers have been there.
Yeah.
And then we ended our session hoping that your fiance will join us next time. Expecting it.
Yep, yep.
I mean, a little spoiler for you, but I've already told you this. Ending last session, you guys heard footsteps coming up behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Starting next session, it's the footsteps of your cleric rejoining your party.
Yeah.
And so just incorporating that. And if she doesn't join, then, well, now I have to come up with somebody else's footsteps. Big deal. Now it's just an NPC in the castle.
Right, right. Yeah, it is. And it's almost like a cool, as if, well, as far as the DM goes, as if they need any more examples of this, but it's kind of a cool example of trying to adapt to what's happening. Missing players is just like a huge chapter of that. Obviously for the DM, because they have to deal with specifically story stuff that happens. That, okay, now they can't deal with this one thing because someone's gone. But then as players, we had to deal with it, and we had to be a lot more cautious. Where normally we'd be like, I would say our party's pretty good at not being murder hobos. I think we are definitely aggressive, snarky.
Yeah.
For some of our characters, but I don't think we're like straight up, okay, they've done a strong murder, everything in the room. We're pretty restrained, but even when our cleric was gone, we even took that extra step to be even more cautious, which for some people in our party was really hard.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a cool way to kind of like, we now need to adapt to this. I feel like you don't always get in your party unless you bring in someone new or someone gets permanently removed from the party just because whatever reason.
To sum it all up, I think online 4 is the number. 5 including your GM.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could do 5 online too, but I'd say 4 is a good amount. And in person, I think 5 is the amount. For us, at least. It's going to vary with each group.
Well, and like you said, I mean, I think the two biggest caveats that is just, what kind of session do you run? What kind of campaign is it?
Yeah.
And how familiar you are with who you're playing with.
Yeah.
And that just was a cool idea that popped in my head. Oh, yeah, playing virtually versus playing in person.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that came into my mind was party size. Because that seems to be not huge, but definitely very, very, very important depending on where you are in life and how accessible going somewhere in person is, online is, or whatever, you know.
Apologize if right at the end there where you were talking, my heat kicked on. And our fan for our heat currently is making a really loud ringing sound. And I have to have the maintenance guy come and get it fixed. I'm not really concerned about it. So I'm sorry if you heard that in the background. Good episode. Good conversation as always with you.
You too, always.
For those of you listening, thanks for stopping by and have safe travels as you adventure forth.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Not Just NPCs Podcast.